This is a flow to inspire. Vibe hard. Lift veil.
This is a moment to inspire. Hear soul shine, expand.
This is a flow to inspire. This is Solasana vibes.
Coming at you so smooth.
We gonna beat me
like a jazz.
Hello. Welcome everybody to Solasana Vibes. Today is our very first episode, and we are here with Mr. Kenny Ward.
Who? Where? Who's that?
Oh, he's right here.
What's up? It's me.
Oh, it's you.
Yay. I'm so excited.
Well, I guess in full disclosure.
This is not the first episode.
This is not at all. This is actually...
like the sixth?
The sixth episode, and our second episode.
Our second attempt.
Attempt of just hanging out with each other.
Yes. Which is truly excruciating, listeners.
It's been hellish. So, where should we begin? There's like a whole story about how this journey started.
Well, first, I have a question for you.
Oh, let's do it. We're just like going right in there.
Yes.
Okay.
In their swimwear.
Oh, keeping it real.
Going to the pool.
Let's do it.
How on earth do we pronounce the name of the Yoga Studio and the podcast?
Yes, I love this question. Is it Solasana or is it Solasana?
You have 30 seconds.
So, okay, this is a great question, and it is totally tomato, tomato, potato, potato. That being said, when I did create the name, and I thought of the name 10 years ago, I was going to, with one of my closest friends, we were going to start a yoga clothing line. We called it Solasana.
What?
And it was a play on the word asana. But we just both loved the way that that name Solasana flowed. And then when I was creating this studio, it brought me back. I just have always loved that name. So yes, here we are with Solasana. But because it's asana, the Sanskrit word for posture, I completely understand why people call it Solasana, and that's why it's cool either way. And I could have put an accent, but that's super pretentious and weird.
Which we know that you are both of those things.
Super pretentious, yes. So we just go with whatever you want to say, but the way I created it, it's Solasana.
I like it.
Thanks,
Kenny.
That one
feels better to my mouth.
Oh.
That was
like an M&M commercial. Wait, mouth's in your mouth, not in your hands.
Yeah. We gotta move on.
Okay. So then now we have this podcast, which was created because my husband and I celebrated our anniversary, and we were out on his boat, and I was just asking him all these questions about the meaning of life and how his soul was feeling, and he just looked at me and said, "Amy, you always ask a million questions."
What was his tone?
Yeah, more serious than that. No, but joking.
Teasing.
Okay. No, yeah, we're best friends.
Amy, so, we're on a boat. Be quiet. Or I'll throw you over.
Yeah, and he's known me long enough. I definitely do ask a lot of questions. And he's like, "You should start a podcast." I go, "Oh, I should start a podcast and ask all these amazing people how they started, what lights them up. Yogis, soulpreneurs, visionaries, change makers, and ask as many questions as I want, and then find out these themes that keep us all connected."
Yeah.
And then you, Kenny, came in divine timing, because not only are you an inspiration, a yogi, a musician, an artist, a creator.
Keep it coming.
You're also very tech savvy.
I am. I don't look it.
You have the yin and the yang happening, and I love that. So when I was first figuring it out, Kenny came in and was telling me, "Oh, this was the day that you were teaching."
Oh, that's right. And it was my first ever zero class.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
But it ended up being
a really good day.
like a life changer because then we started talking. Kenny's has a lot of experience with podcasts.
Yes.
And that is the day that we did our first trial.
Our true first episode.
Which
we should release someday as a bonus episode.
As a bonus episode. We were both nervous and not really sure what we were doing.
Yes.
Not that I know what I'm doing now either.
I never know what I'm doing. I wake up every day and go, good luck, self.
Good luck, self. But since then, we've interviewed, Retta from Evolution.
Shanti
Sound Healing. I interviewed Nicole from the Monarch Collective, Kira Reiki, and we have Abria and Kylie Cole coming up. Tons of people that are going to share all their energy with us, so we're super grateful.
Some super cool stories.
Amazing stories.
Yeah.
Really inspiring stories.
Yeah.
And then Kenny was just going to help me a little bit, and then I just pulled him in.
Yes, slowly, I know. So originally, well, you would have heard me in the original first episode.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on blast a little bit here.
Do it.
But
I'm
Amy,
not afraid.
Then Amy was a little nervous to do it alone, right?
Yes.
So then
it's better together.
Yeah. So then I said, okay, I'll like be there at all of them and ask a question here and there.
Like a sidekick.
A sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
The techie sidekick.
The techie sidekick.
Which is a person on a lot of podcasts, so it's kind of makes sense to me now. And then, I don't know, we work well together.
We do. We flow.
Yeah, if you can't tell, I like her a lot, so.
I like you a lot. Oh, stop it.
Oh, my gosh, I'm blushing. And now we're here. Now we're doing them.
We're committing.
Let me just say, you are very motivated. Like, it's weird to feel like I should be talking to an audience, but now I'm actually talking to you. Listeners, Amy is so motivated.
I'm inspired. Like,
inspired, but also motivated. Like,
motivated.
I know a lot of people who are inspired, but don't have the gumption to get up and do it. And
this just feels incredible. Just getting to talk to all these incredible people. We're so lucky to be surrounded by all these healers on Maui, and I really, truly want to get to know everyone so much more and learn and share and vibe and create. And so for me, it's like so uplifting.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can learn so much from other people just by having conversations and by being vulnerable and by sometimes just saying, this is my dream or this is the thing I want to do, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I have insight into this.
Kenny, what's your dream?
I want to be Mickey Mouse. No.
That's kind of true. Mickey Mouse and Britney Spears.
Oh, yes. You can't. No one can see me right now. I have my Britney Spears pop star hair today.
He's got the trendy male half bun. It's not even a full bun.
It's not even, because I don't have enough hair yet. No, my dream would probably be to be happy. Like, well, sorry, that sounded so dark.
I'm miserable now. One day I should laugh. And so, did you just snort?
I did. Well, no, my dream, it would be to be long run happy, just doing something that I really enjoy. And I think realistically, it would probably be that I could make a feasible wage off of music and art and creative things, but I'm a songwriter, and I play music, and I have a band and all that, so
an amazing band, an amazing songwriter. What did you just win?
I won the Hawaii Songwriting Festival Songwriting Competition.
That is incredible.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's just get in there. How did you get started, Kenny? Share the story. And by the way, if you can visualize that you can make money and be successful, then you can. So you should start really a positive mindset of abundance thinking.
That is, so that's very true, actually.
Mm-hmm.
With that kind of fits with this story. I'm going to dive in. I guess I'll go way back on the music stuff.
Dive and swim backwards.
Yeah, so I grew up in Connecticut.
East Coast,
and I love the East Coast.
I love the East Coast, too.
Don't
want
to throw any shade on the East Coast here, but I'm about to.
But I do think that's partly why we get along. We have that East Coast connection.
Yeah, I think we're both very go, too, which I have trouble finding out here. I'm constantly like, come on, people.
Let's go.
What do you mean you want to sit and do nothing?
That's great, too, though.
Yeah, that is,
yin and yang.
I'm not very good at it. Yeah. I'm all the yang in that one.
Yes.
But anyway, so I grew up in Connecticut and love it there. Love my whole family, love life, but always played music. And I think a lot of people in general, but it always felt like on the East Coast, music was a hobby. There was no, you were never going to do music and pursue it as a career.
Mm-hmm. Like from your family or friends?
Family, friends, everybody. Like, that's always just felt like the attitude.
It was like, Kenny, get a real job with a 401k and health insurance, and you could play music on the side as a hobby.
Yeah, if you want to.
If you want to.
Which is what I did for a long time. I started playing guitar when I was around 10. So then I started writing songs probably around 15. And then I would put them out on MySpace, and I used to play all these shows and stuff, but I was in high school and then early college. And then I kind of got a little bit burnt on it because it was like, I really had the mindset of like, that's it. Like, this is all this can be. Like, either I will be whisked away by some label that wants to sign me and produce me as an artist and all of that, or this is going to be a hobby that people think is just a thing I like to do, but they'll also have an opinion of it being like sad or something.
Like, because just a hobby.
Just a hobby. But I also had a lot of people who, this sounds so bad, but like, I had a lot of conversations with people who were older than me who said things like, oh yeah, so and so that I know is in his mid-40s and he's a musician too. And it was a lot of that negative talk, but that led,
they're still chasing the dream but never made it.
Exactly.
Okay, as a side note, isn't it interesting how the stories people tell us as we're growing up, like, influence our narrative?
Yes.
But if people around you were like, Kenny,
you can do it.
You can do it, and you can be as expansive and as big as you want to get, and it's gonna, and just follow your passion, it would have been such a different experience for you.
I think I would have been, I would have dove in a lot sooner.
Would have had more belief in yourself.
Yeah, because
I... And the universe supporting you.
Yeah, because what I have realized, really just in the past, honestly in the past year, I have all of a sudden I realized, like, I had a lot of, like, negative self-talk around music and creativity, and the thought that I could do anything with it, because I had... Like, when you're doing anything creative, there's going to be somebody who's going to take a dump on you, for lack of a better term. They're going to tear, like,
just... Well, it's just because everyone's got different tastes.
Yeah.
Your art may not be their art.
Yes. Mm. Or that it's like, oh, like, kids stop chasing the dreams. So I had so much of that that, as a result, I think I started to question my own ability. Meaning, I didn't even question my ability. I put myself into the box of... This will forever be a hobby. It would be nice to put out an album one day, but I think I was so limiting myself in this space of like, well, person A, B, C, D, and the rest of the alphabet all told me that this is not a viable thing.
And it just goes to show you, number one, you cannot listen to other people.
Yeah.
It is all a personal experience and our personal path.
Yeah.
And it just goes to how much we believe in ourselves.
Yeah.
So how did you go from that narrative to being the superstar you are now?
Well, it took a lot. Okay, now I'm going to get all mushy-gushy on you maybe.
Ooh.
But...
Well, get your Kleenex out, listeners.
I know. Get ready. This is my tragic story.
No, there's nothing tragic.
No, there's nothing tragic about it. It's a couple things sort of triggered it for me. I mean, you already know this, but last year I had a really, really rough breakup, and that led me right back into music. because I had sort of, the well had sort of dried up for a while. It was like I played, but I wasn't, I had kind of almost temporarily lost the spark. Like, it wasn't like the release that it used to be.
It's funny how those big highs and lows in our lives are the biggest spurs of creativity.
Yeah, at the big high, like for relationship as an example, at the start of a lot of relationships, I always was very inspired. But then, I don't know what happened, I think I got busy and yada, yada, yada. But then it ended and it led me right back into it. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm really passionate about this. But I had been living here for a while now at that point. And I think I had started to grow up and shift and have this realization of like, oh, well, wait, I picked up all my stuff and I moved across the world. And a lot of people told me that was crazy.
Right.
And I did that no problem. And I got a job right when I got here. And I'm doing
I did that no problem.
And I'm teaching yoga 3 days a week. And
I got I did that no problem.
And all of a sudden it was like, wait, so like I'm doing this thing that I'm passionate about. And I've proved to myself that in all these other arenas I can do a lot of stuff. And now I'm writing all this new material because I'm in this big burst of creativity. And I was like, you can do this too.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then to get us to zoom fast forward to where we are now is that I did really spur of the moment. I was already creating band and music as the band The Other Realm with my brother Billy.
Such a cool vibe. I love
thank you
everything about you guys.
Thanks.
It's kind of, it's really like folky rock star. With like an edge.
We haven't fully figured out our sound 100%. We know we want it to be weird. That's kind of like folksy but with weird like synths and stuff in there that kind of feel like
ambiance.
Yeah.
Trancy?
A little, a touch of that, but still with your real solid song structure. Not like trancy enough where you could turn it on and it goes for 20 minutes.
Like, okay, but like a little hint of it.
A little hint of it.
Okay, I like that.
But we were already doing music, and then I entered this songwriting contest, really spur of the moment, here on Maui. I had been at the Maui Coffee Attic, saw a flyer that said, calling songwriters, and I said, ooh, that's me. And I went up and I took a picture of it and looked at it later, and it was in like a week. And I said, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't go. And I will say I'm very quick to do this thing where I'll say I want to do something, and then I will 100% introvert my way out of it and go home and sit on the couch and not go.
That's interesting. Is that, what is that about? So you can answer, not me.
Wait, what?
What is that about? Is that, I mean, what is that? Why do you do that, do you think?
I don't know. I do it with a lot of stuff. I think that I get, as much as I consider myself a friendly introvert.
You're super friendly.
Yeah, and I like this. I like a one-on-one or like a group of four or five. The second there's more people than that, though, I get real clammy and real awkward. And maybe I don't, I probably come off awkward. I'm kind of awkward all the time.
But don't come off awkward. But you're very self-deprecating though, but it's you're funny.
I try to be doing
yeah,
it
you're
as
funny.
Funny.
Yeah.
Usually
I feel like we can tease each other a lot.
Yeah.
I
sometimes forget that I can't tease everybody though. And I've done it to people and then I realize after that I think I hurt their feelings and I go, oh no.
Okay, so that is a lesson I learned when I moved here from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Because the East Coast is so sarcastic.
So sarcastic.
And that's just how you talk to people.
Yeah.
And when I first moved here, I had that experience too. And and I have softened my sarcasm.
I almost think it's gotten worse for me.
Oh, you've gotten more?
Because I almost like the
Challenge.
The challenge. I'm like, let's see. What can
like,
I do?
I'm gonna toughen you up.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think as long as people know that your heart is full
yeah,
of love,
I don't
which
do
it is,
to just every person
right, and
I
you're
meet.
Not doing it with any
malintent,
of course. So once you become friends with someone,
except
you can poke
you.
At them. Except with me,
gonna,
and it's pure evil.
I'm gonna tear you down.
I'm gonna rip you to pieces. Well, that's what it feels like in your yoga class sometimes. I'm like, oh, I can't feel my legs. Can you like this last week? Wait, we should get into your yoga class soon. But
yes.
But finish your music because
oh, yeah,
it's really cool.
I'll wrap it up with basically.
Come on, Kenny.
I know. I'm so sorry.
What do you think this is, a podcast? We have his time.
I'm so sorry. I hope you're still listening.
Basically, what ended up happening was I entered this really spur of the moment, and I was in this spot of realizing that I tend to kind of close off a little.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here with somebody, so I had that cushion, and then obviously we broke up, so it was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I don't know a lot of people, and I don't do a lot of things, and I don't talk to a lot of people. So I was kind of in this position of like, I guess I got to get out there, but I don't like bars and I don't like partying. I like to go to bed at like 9 o'clock. So I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. So I was trying to find a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I definitely had that at the studio,
mm-hmm.
but it was limited to some capacities.
Because you only teach 3 classes a week and you're popping in and out. And it's a class environment. You can't always go deep with people. They're in and out. Everyone's coming and going. But we always want to.
Yes, if you ever want to talk, let me know. But then, so then I ended up going to this. I just was like, you got to go. Like, you can't
so
just go home and sit on the couch.
And you know what? Then, that's another good point. Sorry, you're so wise and you don't even know it. But that is another good point about lifting the veil. Because once you can see certain traits about yourself, then you can say, oh, that's what I do. That's my fear. Now I'm going to face it. And it's not as big of a deal. And I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You're so wise, Kenny.
Stop. Okay, well, so it took me a long time. But then I went, and to take it back to the music, I had the song that I was confident in. But I didn't go in thinking, like, this is going to win. I just went in thinking, like, this is a good song.
And this will be fun.
This will be fun. But there's also so many talented people on Maui.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in thinking, this will be fun. And then it won, which was wild.
Yay! Woohoo! The crowd goes wild!
But then that got me into the Hawaii Songwriting Festival, which was on the Big Island. And this is where I had a big... like awakening almost of realizing realizing my own potential and realizing how many avenues I had already maybe been predisposed to close myself off to because I was afraid of failure for one.
Limiting beliefs.
Afraid of rejection as well. And basically just...
Which all of us have.
Yeah. But like, I think it's important to be able to take that step past it.
Transcend it.
Yeah, and be like, whatever. Like, so then I went and I learned so much in like 5 days, and there was a songwriting contest there as well, and I won that one too.
Woohoo!
Well, I placed in the top three, so I didn't take first place, but whatever.
Top three. That's
amazing. I still
felt
pretty good. Yeah.
You're like, hobby schmobby.
Well,
this is my path. This is my passion.
Exactly.
And this is the door opening, and now the universe is mine.
Yes, and all of a sudden, that's when I, like, that little glimmer of, like, oh no, like, there's more to this than you thought was enough to kickstart me into full gear, like.
To commit.
To commit to it and to talk to my brother and say, like, are you going to actually commit? And had that conversation, I was like, yes, we both want to do this. We're both going to keep our jobs. Like, we're not going to just quit our jobs and, you know.
Not today, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe. That would be really great. But I learned just all this stuff and all these avenues that you can go down, and now I'm taking it day by day, but kind of having that feeling of, I can do this, and if...
That's the seed. That's the seed that we all need to plant into our heads so that we're saying, I can do this, I can do this. And every day that seed starts to grow and grow and grow until we are like, not only do we think we can do it, but we are doing it, and we are doing it in our highest vibration and in our most expansive and brightest light possible.
Yeah. And I think it's, to give it one last little thing, is like that, for me, the thing I frequently have to come back to is that the seed, the tree, watering it, all of that whole process is for nobody but me, and that I'm doing it because I love it.
Yes.
And that, you know, I would love it if, /when, I can quit my job and I'm doing music full time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always the flip side of the coin that if that doesn't happen, it's like, but I still am loving the process. Mm-hmm. I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm not cracking the whip. I'm crapping the whip on myself a little
crapping
bit.
Crapping the
I know.
Whip? Is it cracking? Maybe you're crapping on your whip. I like to just crack my whip.
You don't need to know that in my personal time.
You and your whips are totally in your domain.
I snorted again.
You snorted again.
But, you know, I'm not, like, dragging myself through it, and I think that that's super important. Because
you're practicing non-attachment, too.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And are you my therapist?
This will be $100,000.
I got a debt.
But your story just resonates so deeply, too, because, yeah, I think it's an experience that we all can embrace.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, I've been here over 10 years, and a lot of people that I've met from the East Coast did grow up with those narratives. The East Coast, there's a lot of pressure, and
yeah.
I mean, there is a reason why we've moved as far away as humanly possible. But I think because somewhere deep inside our spirits, we do all know that's not our story, and yeah. that life, you know, we're meant to be bigger and just remember who we truly are and
yeah.
called to this beautiful island to do it.
And that there's no such thing as failure unless you label it failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I was really excited when we started collaborating on the open mic night because
yeah.
that's really the first time I've gotten to hear you sing and perform. And
yeah, I do sort of keep it like it's my dirty secret or something.
Oh, I mean, everybody was really moved
oh.
and really into it, and you have a great stage presence. And,
thank you.
No, I definitely believe in you.
Oh, thanks.
You can do anything,
Carrie.
Oh,
so can you.
Thanks. Well, okay, so this is a good segue because you helped me. Well, first of all, you just helped me so much at the studio,
oh.
and I'm so grateful for you.
Because I love
you.
It here.
Thank you. I love you being here. And a shout out to all of our teachers and all of our students and everyone here because it is such a creative, beautiful community and family that we have here. So
yeah, shout out to all the teachers, especially me.
Shout out to all the teachers. But yeah, so what was cool too is because you're such a great teacher and I want to talk a little bit about your classes and how you got into yoga, but it was great to see another side of you in that open mic. And that's one of the reasons why I love all these workshops that we do and these
yeah.
creative ceremonies because, you know, people are multifaceted and we all have many gifts and many different sides. So it's just a great way to experience people and go deeper and learn more about each other.
Yeah.
Because I just knew you as the booty man.
Yep, that's me, the booty boy.
The booty boy.
Yeah.
So we met because Kelly, who was the first booty teacher that I hired, she said, oh, hey, I can't teach all these classes. You should call this guy Kenny.
Haha, that's me.
And I was like, Kenny teaches booty? Because how would you describe booty?
Not many men
that I know teach
yeah,
booty. Yeah,
no, almost none.
Almost none.
Yeah,
okay.
It's very much marketed as a female empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dance. It's yoga, dance, and biometrics, basically mm-hmm. all wrapped into one.
Yes.
And it definitely is wild.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And just as a side note, I loved that you were teaching it because I am all about female empowerment, but I'm also all about male empowerment, the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And
yeah.
at this studio, I never wanted to have just one class for one gender. I want
yeah.
it all to be all-inclusive at all times. So for
yeah.
you to step in and you're like, okay, I'm going to teach this class.
Yeah.
And I'm just super cute Kenny. I was obviously.
Well, to touch on that really quick, I do think that the class, the way they originally marketed it, and I think they sort of maybe still are a little, it was very much feminine. And the movements, I think, are, there's a lot of spiraling, a lot of hip movements that I think are borderline belly dance. I just think that
but
a lot of
it's just to for your kundalini to
yeah.
be activated and start rising and getting released and activated.
Yes, but I think at the surface a lot of people view it as a very effeminate type of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think is really like a healing movement, and a really, it's good. Yes. You're moving your body in all these weird ways that you would not.
Fluid.
It's very
spiraling.
Fluid, very spiraling, and it feels really good for your whole body. But I also think that being able to, like, I know the yoga and healing world is very inclusive, but there are, I think, still these blocks and these limitations in it that I felt like me teaching that class, I definitely had people who were very uncomfortable that I was the teacher, because it was like, oh, this is too weird to watch a guy doing this. Mm-hmm. But I also think it helped maybe break down the wall a little bit, because mm-hmm. here we didn't really generally have any guys, but when I was teaching on the East Coast, I did have some guys who were regulars.
That's
oh, we
great.
Had a few here. Shout out to Joey, if he's ever listening.
Joe, and your class on, well, we've now changed it to rhythm and flow, but it does still incorporate those movements.
Yeah,
we have men
slower.
Pop in and out here.
Yeah, and I think that makes it an attainable thing for them.
Yes, and I think that we definitely have made it clear that everybody is welcome. So I never want anybody to feel that they, even if it's a predominantly female class, we don't stare at the men, we don't judge the men. Like,
right.
men and women are equal, and
yes.
everybody's here to heal and release and move energy and raise their vibrations.
And have fun.
And have fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay, let's talk a little bit about how Booty became Rhythm and Flow. And well, first off, how did you get into yoga?
Oh, yes. Oh, I love this story. Okay, so you already heard this when we did our practice run.
We did.
But basically, when I was 17, living in Connecticut, I wanted to get a summer job. And I didn't have my license yet. I was a late license bloomer. And I went to go apply for a job at the vet's office, which was maybe a 10-minute bike ride from my parents' house. And I hop on my bike, and I had to go down a fairly busy road for a while. And you know where the story is going. I got hit by a car. Maybe you didn't know that's where it was going. But
well, the listeners didn't. I just heard that when we first started doing this, and I mean, that is a really big deal to get hit by a car.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of traumatic. I did not ride a bike for a couple years after that. But it also was not anywhere near as bad as it could have been.
Did you feel like you had your angels watching you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and I didn't really get hurt. I did. I got scuffed up. Lost my shoes. I had to go back and find my shoes the next day with my dad. We could only find one. R.I.P. to those
R.I.P.
beautiful slides.
Yeah.
But I ended up, you know, I had to go to an orthopedic surgeon. We didn't do surgery, but, like, I had to go and a specialist. And he had to basically do a little bit of PT, physical therapy. And I went once a week for a while, for like 6 months. Then it dropped down to once a month, yada, yada, yada. But basically what he told me was I had to really focus on maintaining core strength, because after the accident, they did an x-ray of my back, and instead of it being in a straight line like most people's backs, my back had a pretty noticeable curve to it.
Wow.
Basically going to one direction from, basically from where I got hit by the car, my spine kind of shaped around the car.
Oof.
Does that make sense?
It does. You're very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And nothing broke.
We're
break
very
anything.
Lucky that you're here.
Yeah. I think about it sometimes and I'm like, whoa, could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So he told me I had to really work on core strength. And at that point, I was still in high school and I hated sports. And I was like, well, I don't want to do sports. And then I started doing like regular old workout videos. I think I told you last time that the one I was so into, I did Denise Austin, and
Denise
then I
Austin,
did Totally Fit with Mel B, and Mel B is Scary Spice from the Spice Girls.
I'm just picturing you at home, just being so into it.
So into it.
So into it. Did you have a headband?
Maybe.
It's like a sweatband.
Yes.
Like a neon green sweatband.
This is really painting the picture for you, but it got to be too easy for me. So I had those little wrist bands that were the weights and the ankle weights.
You're just giving me life
like,
right
in
now.
In my parents' basement on a yoga mat, like doing these
just
movements.
Doing
and
the
they
thing.
Were probably just like, oh, what did we do? Where did we go wrong?
Oh, this is so funny. I love it.
Yeah, but then one day I got a little bit into yoga, was not really doing a ton of it, and then was reading a magazine. And it was a Self magazine. I think I still have it with Jennifer Love Hewitt on the cover. Because I love me some Jennifer Love Hewitt. And she was talking about this exercise class that she had been going to in LA, and it was called booty yoga.
Oh.
And I was like, what kind of insane thing is this? And I was hooked. Like, they had a little
thing
about the movements in there.
Great.
And then I went online, I found a few online classes, started doing it. At this point, I'm in college, started doing it in my dorm room. And then I called up and I was like, can I get certified in this? They were doing one in New York. And I kind of was like, is this for, like, women only? I've been doing it for, like, a year in my dorm room.
Aww.
And they were like, no, we want more men to do it. They
just
don't have a lot of men. So I went and got certified in New York City, started teaching it first at my college, then after that around, and then I came here. And then I started teaching here. And then I got a little bit older. Not that I'm old, but, like, I'm
ancient.
20. Yeah, I know. 26.
Ancient in your 20s.
Gosh. But I even started to feel like it was a little too intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught myself slowing down my classes, even though it was still called booty. And it reached a point where I started teaching and it wasn't really booty anymore.
Yeah, then we changed it to down tempo booty.
Down tempo, where we were kind of slowing it down.
And that started becoming more popular than the regular booty.
Yep. And then I started changing things about it. And it reached a point where it was like this isn't really booty yoga anymore. It was a lot more
elements of it.
It had elements. Mm-hmm. We still did some spiraling, but it was a lot slower. There was a lot more of a yoga flow to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And dance. There's still dance. Yeah,
and
but not like that class is like booty is like you jump up and down for the whole class.
Yes.
is like I have like one maybe cardio burst in the middle where I'm
I like your cardio burst. This past week was really good.
Thank
this
you.
Past week was tough.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So we started at booty. It's rhythm and flow.
Yeah.
Which is so cool because it's really your style.
Yeah. There's
kind of
not
that.
Another anything exactly like it, which is nice.
And so for any listeners that are curious, let's just give a little description. Well, I guess we just did.
We did, but it's basically...
And the music plays a big part in it.
Oh, yeah.
This is not your typical...
Not your mama's yoga.
It's not your grandma's yoga.
Yeah, no, it is... it's all pop music. I mean, it's basically...
It's like Britney Spears.
It's basically 90% Britney Spears. It's like... Depends on my mood. Sometimes you'll probably catch that, like, the songs, you're like, wow, this is very depressing today.
Literally, but I'm usually like, this can be borderline super cheesy, but man, I can dance to it, and I love it.
Oh my
and
gosh,
you're
yeah.
so into it that it's like,
yes! I truly only use music that I fully love.
Yeah.
So, like,
I would take
requests, and then I would not like the requests, so stop taking requests. So now it's like, you're gonna hear, like, Hit Me Baby One More Time, and I'm a Slave for You. And I'm going to be singing it the whole class.
But I feel like also lately you've been playing some... Which one was Jealous?
Oh, Nick Jonas. The Jonas Brothers.
That's a great song.
Yes.
I mean, it definitely keeps you moving. The pace, like, it's really steady. And it's great because I feel like it's attracting students that I wouldn't normally...
Expect to show.
And
yes.
who are leaving being like, I really like that.
Yeah, which is so nice.
It's so cool.
Few people who I think have walked in at the wrong time and have then been like, oh, I'll just stay.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, you're going to hate this. And they're the ones who walk out. Like, I love that. And then they start coming back.
It's such a good reminder not to have expectation.
Yes.
Sometimes we can surprise ourselves with what we enjoy.
Yeah. And it opens your eyes to new and exciting things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Kenster, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so excited that we're beginning this adventure of this podcast, this Solasana, Solasana podcast. Solasana podcast.
Solasana.
Solasana. Sola crazy. Sol Asylum, that's what I was thinking. But no, I'm feeling so creatively inspired these days, and
Yay.
It's so beautiful to share this with you.
Thank you.
So thank you, and
thank you.
Solasana Vibes. This is the first official one.
Yes.
And I hope you all enjoyed this. And stay tuned because we have been interviewing amazing, amazing people and lots more, and more of our teachers to be interviewed, and students and healers. And
it's great. And make sure that if you're listening, to subscribe. If you're
subscribe.
On iTunes, subscribe, leave a review.
Oh, yes.
Share it with your friends.
Not a bad review.
Not a bad review. I mean, any review does the trick, but we'd like it to be positive.
That's true. And let us know when you come into the studio if you're listening and
yes.
what you think.
Yeah, unless it's bad.
Unless it's bad.
Because I have a very fragile ego.
He's very sensitive. Yeah. You can tell me and I'll let Kenny know
yeah.
you didn't like
sure,
his
let,
part.
Let
not
down
my
easy.
Part, his part.
But yes, and if you're on Spotify, save it. And I'm going to do a plug. Check out The Other Realm.
Yes,
if you'd like.
Definitely.
If you like music.
And also, where can they follow you on Instagram?
Oh, shoot. You can follow Other Realm Music for the music stuff, or Kenny Ward Music, which is more like my personal. And I've started sort of transitioning away. I have a yoga one, but I don't really use it anymore.
Okay, we're mostly at the music.
We're mostly using the personal one for everything.
Okay, I'll stop tagging the other one then.
I should talk to that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you heard it first. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. This is Solasana Vibes, and we'll...
Coming at you so smooth.
So smooth.
We're going to beat Nick.
Like a jazz band.